In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to share three true and powerful testimonies of separated brothers or Protestants who converted to our Catholic faith. There are cases in which the eruption of God in their lives has happened in a miraculous way. In others, it has been a slow and painful process that has lasted several years. Each case is different, two conversions are never the same. Conversion is a personal process, an encounter between man and God, in which many personal lifetime aspects and antecedents come together. In many of these cases there is an anti-Catholicism inherited from the Reformation churches, who believe that Catholics are not biblical, and therefore not Christian, and reject them as pagans as if they believed in pagan fables and doctrines, which come from Constantine. Thousands and thousands of Protestants convert to the Catholic faith each year, especially trained people and those studious of the Bible. In England in recent years, around 12,000 have been converted per year. In the USA there are annually about 100,000. Therefore, we believe that the testimony of these men, pastors and theologians which we will share in this video, can help us affirm our Catholic faith and feel more confident that we are in the Church founded by Christ 2,000 years ago. His Eminence St. John Henry Newman was born into an Anglican family of bankers in London on February 21, 1801. St. John Henry Newman underwent a first conversion at age 15, as he called it. In 1825, after completing his studies at Oxford, he was ordained an Anglican priest. 3 years later he was appointed vicar of the church annexed to the University of Oxford. In that position, which he held until 1843, he cultivated friendships with educated and enlightened people in England at that time. He was the promoter, starting in 1833, of the Oxford Movement, a religious current within the Anglican Church, which promoted a middle way, or third way, between Protestantism and the Catholic Church. He tells us, "Subsequently, and without being able to specify the order or dates in my words, I spoke of the Church of Rome, as linked to the cause of the Antichrist as one of the many Antichrists or as a church that had in itself something truly anti-Christian or non-Christian. But studying the history of the Monophysite and Arian heretics, he realized that he could not maintain that third way, and that he must remain Anglican or become Catholic. He had to undergo many internal and external struggles to be faithful to his conscience, and he had to try very hard to investigate the truth in the Holy Church Fathers of the first centuries, until he gradually came to the truth. In 1843 he decided to leave his position as Anglican pastor, and was reduced to a simple layman, although he was not yet determined to become a Catholic due to obstacles such as devotion to the Virgin and the saints. He says, "In 1843 I took two very important steps. In February I made a formal retraction of all the harsh things I had said against the Church of Rome. In September I gave up my benefit with little more." St. John Henry Newman says, "Between the autumn of 1843 and 1845 I remained in lay communion with the Church of England, attending as usual its acts of worship, and completely abstaining from dealing with Catholics. I also avoided places of worship in Catholic rites, such as the invocation of saints, which are characteristic of their creed. All this I did out of conviction, because I could never understand how anyone can belong to two religious confessions at the same time." On October 9, 1845, St. John Henry Newman embraced Catholicism. "From the moment I became a Catholic, I naturally have no more history of my religious ideas to relate. By saying this, I do not mean that my understanding has lain idle, or that I have stopped thinking about theological issues, but that I have no variations to note, nor have I had any anguish of heart. I have been in perfect peace and content, I have never had a doubt. In converting, I have not noticed any change, intellectual or moral, operated in my spirit. Nor have I felt more fervor. It was like arriving at the port after a storm, and the happiness I felt remains uninterrupted to the present. Nor have I been bothered by the acceptance of the additional articles, which are not in the Anglican Creed. Some I believe, but none of them have been a test for me. Upon being received into the Catholic Church, I made profession of them with the greatest ease, and I feel the same when I believe them now. I am going to take the doctrine that Protestants consider the greatest difficulty, that is of the Immaculate Conception, that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without original sin. In fact, it falls by its own weight to say that Catholics did not believe it because it was defined, but that it was defined because they believed it. Far from being a tyrannical imposition on the Catholic world, the definition given in 1854 was everywhere received when promulgated with the greatest enthusiasm. The definition was made as a result of the unanimous request to the Holy See of the entire Church for the doctrine on the Immaculate Conception to be declared apostolic doctrine. After a trip to Rome in 1847, he was ordained a Catholic priest. One of his main goals at that time was to show the English that he can be a good Catholic and a loyal citizen. Pope Leo XIII made him a cardinal in 1879. Along with him, 22 Anglican pastors and 11 professors from the University of Oxford and Cambridge were converted to Catholicism. It is estimated that from St. John Henry Newman's time to 1935, 900 Anglican pastors have been converted to the Catholic Church. Anglican Robert U. Benson says, "For 25 years I lived in a clerical environment, and for 9 years I was a pastor in a city. My father was the spiritual head. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury from the Anglican Community of England. My religious training was very complete. I believe that the Roman Catholics were clearly corrupt and decadent, they were the ritualistic and polluted, and the Protestants were radical, loud, extravagant and vulgar. One day, while in Egypt taking a walk, I entered the town's Catholic church out of pure curiosity. It was surrounded by adobe houses and gave the visitor no impression of the solidity and security that Europe usually provides. And its interior was unattractive. However, I now believe that it was there that something akin to the Catholic faith stirred within me. Obviously, the church was part of the life of the town. It was open, like the other Arab houses, and it was exactly the same as other Catholic churches. There I considered, for the first time, the possibility that Rome was right, and that we were the wrong ones. My indifference for the Catholic Church began to permeate with respectful fear. To reassure myself, I struck up a deep friendship with the Coptic priest to whom, upon returning to England, I sent a pair of bronze candlesticks for his altar. In Damascus I received a new blow, when I learned from the Guardian newspaper, that the preacher, to whom I owed all my knowledge of the distinctiveness of Catholic doctrine, had submitted to Rome. It is impossible to describe the surprise and horror with which I fitted the news. In 1902, while walking with my mother, I told her that I had once again had concerns about Rome. I also promised her that if they came up again I would let her know at once. I will never thank her enough for the way she received my confidences. I kept her informed, as well as my superior, of the stages of my process, and I obeyed to the letter the advice of both. I read all the Anglican books that were recommended to me and consulted with all the skilled people who were proposed to me. I do not believe that, in general, Catholic polemicists will come to understand what an Anglican has to go through before being admitted to the Catholic Church. I am referring, above all, to internal conflicts. The prospect of changing the Church means losing the most intimate, the most loved and known, to fall into a huge desert where you will be observed. I was a minister of a church that seemed to have no clear and unique criteria even in matters directly related to the salvation of souls. Let us take as an example a single essential point, and that is the doctrine of penance. In reality, I did not know whether or not it was allowed to teach that it was essential to obtain forgiveness of mortal sin. Practically all the Anglican bishops denied it, and some of them even denied the power to absolve. And every day with greater clarity, it was impossible for me to affirm that the Church of England required sacramental confession. A friend, a Catholic priest, told me that the biggest inconvenience he encountered upon conversion was being forced to deny the validity of his ordination. Until then, he had been a ritualistic pastor, working selflessly among the poor in a major English city, and who, for years, daily celebrated what he believed to be the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He told me that he was almost scared to make his first communion. Yet the moment the Holy Eucharist touched his tongue, he realized the difference. He told me that, from that moment on, he did not hesitate for a second. Until then, he had only received bread and wine accompanied by a non-sacramental grace. And that this new gift was neither more nor less than the body of Christ. Now I can say that returning from the Catholic Church to the Anglican one would be to exchange certainty for doubt, faith for agnosticism, substance for shadows, bright light for dark gloom, universal fact for a provincial and lacking doctrine of history. The failures of Anglicanism and Protestantism, in general, are proof that its doctrine is not divine. The failures of Catholicism only show that it has a human side as well as divine. Benson converted in 1903, and after studying in Rome, was ordained a Catholic priest. Since then, he has dedicated himself to writing books to spread the Catholic faith, being a chaplain at the University of Cambridge. The great Norwegian writer Sigrid Undset, who received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1928, says, "In Protestantism as I learned to know it, the misfortune is that each one has his personal conviction and his own faith. I had never doubted that the Catholic Church identified with the Church founded by Christ. For me, the question of the authority of the Catholic Church was only a question of the authority of Christ. I had always considered the Protestant Reformation as the story of a rebellion against Christianity, even if it was a rebellion of believers and Christians animated by a godly intention. Nor had the usual objections I heard against Catholicism, such as the bad Catholic scandal, made much of an impression on me. The cult of the saints, which has existed in the Church since its origins, responds to a demand that seems imminent in our nature, as we want to honor heroes. And about the cult of Mary. I have always thought that it was logical and natural. If it is believed that God has saved us, taking our flesh and our blood, we must have for the vessel from which he formed his human body, feelings that are unlike any that we may have for our fellow men, a respect, a tenderness, a compassionate heart. If it is true that the Son of Mary is both true God and true man, then the Son is the Son, and the Mother is Mother for all eternity, he being the Creator and she his creature. It is difficult to put into words what God has given me through his Church. He himself has said that he gives us his peace, but this peace is not what the world gives. This peace is of another type. It can perhaps be compared to the peace that reigns in the depths of the ocean." Sigrid Undset was instructed by Monsignor Kjellstrup, and was received into the Church on November 1, 1924. She found in the Catholic Church a security for her Christian faith that she could not find in the churches that emerged from the Reformation.
Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.